the starting pitcher for the National League at Tuesday's All-Star Game in Arlington, Texas. He's now the fifth rookie pitcher to start the All-Star Game, the first in nearly 30 years. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
Because I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of it, my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
it clean. Go ahead. Thanks. That's really
nice. You are one master whacker, I'll tell you that.
That's wow, that's unbelievable. Impressive. You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WMDX website at mad.radio. News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a thunderstorm, otherwise mostly sunny and highs in the upper 80s. Chance of storms tonight, a low around 70. Thunderstorms for Sunday, otherwise sunny, hot and humid, a high near 91. Heat index in the upper 90s, still hot on Monday.
Currently 83 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Republican National Convention gets underway. We talked to Greg Treverton from National Security Leaders for America about the ramifications of a possible Trump second term.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the show. I am Mark Becker, your host, and you are at the Rational Revolution here on Civic Media. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Hey, we've got a great guest here, but if you missed it last week, if you're a fan of motorsports, we had a really interesting guest. We had Paul Page, who is the voice of the Indianapolis 500, legendary broadcaster for for decades. If you want to listen to that, head over to the Civic Media app. It'll take you to the website. We got all the episodes available to download, including this one. And this is a really, really special one for myself, and it's a special one, I think, for the show. I don't even know where to start with this gentleman's resume. So I'm going to introduce him. Everybody knows Governor Tommy Thompson joins us. How are you, sir?
I am absolutely great. And what a fantastic introduction.
Oh, I'm not done. Let me tell you, I'm not done.
Let me tell you what a great interviewer you are.
Oh, God.
And what a great program. And your name, A Rational Revolution. I love it.
Thank you so much. That's the goal.
Let's get going on the interview. But thank you for having me, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you. You know what's crazy is, you know, I've known you for a while, and you know, in preparation for this, I was looking at, you know, at your resume, what you've done, and so I'm just going to go over it a little bit with our listeners, because I think they deserve to hear this, because I thought I knew a lot about you, but I didn't know. One of the most important things, I mean, you served in the United States military for 10 years. You were a captain in the Wisconsin National Guard. Oh my gosh. And it wasn't an easy time to be in the military at that time.
It was.
So you were a captain of the National Guard and National Guard Reserves for 10 years. You went on, you received your Juris Doctorate of Law from University of Wisconsin Madison. Go Bucky.
Go Bucky.
You were 25 years old. You were elected to the state assembly. Sworn in when you were 26.
24.
24. Okay. So at 24, you served. You were sworn in at 25. And you served for 20 years. You were elected as the 42nd governor of the state of Wisconsin. You held that office longer than anyone in history. Only person ever in Wisconsin elected four times. During your tenure, and this is near and dear to my heart because I love trains, you were the chairman of Amtrak, the chairman of the Republican Governors Association, and the National Governors Association. And if that wasn't all, you were appointed the 19th Secretary of Health and Human Services. You spearheaded initiatives like reorganizing Medicare, Medicaid to encourage greater efficiency. You approved over 1,400 state plans.
Well, and on Medicare, Part D, that's my idea.
Yes, I'm right.
Every senior out there that gets drugs, Part D was under my supervision, and I'm the one that got it passed in Congress. At the George W. Bush said, "I want to do something for drugs. You take care of it, Tommy." Part D is mine.
I mean, arguably that could be, you know, quite honestly, the most important thing, because, you know, prescriptions and seniors, that's vital to their very survival. So I mean, it's crazy, and you approved over 1,400 state plans, provided health insurance to over 1.8 million lower-income Americans. Mm-hmm. That's huge. And then in the aftermath of 9/11, you strengthened the nation's preparedness for bioterrorism attacks, stockpiled vaccines, invested in public health infrastructure. And then if that wasn't all, back in 2020, the UW system needed help, and they said, "Hey, Tommy, help us." And you did. I mean, and you served as the head of the UW system while they were in desperate need of help. I mean, the service.
For two years.
Yeah. Right. Service is really in your DNA.
It is. It really is.
You know, and it's remarkable the things that you've done. And I want to ask you, as we kind of start, just about a couple of those. Other than father, grandpa, husband, what is your favorite title that you've had?
Governor.
Why?
I mean, governor, you know, secretary was a bigger job because it encompassed all of the United States and the world, and it's had a budget of multi-billions of dollars, and had over 75,000 employees, and was in every country in the world. So that was great. But to be able to be elected by your peers, by your fellow citizens, four times as governor, is truly, you know, something that I marvel at, but also I so much appreciate the love and the respect and the and the friendship I've developed with the people of this great state. I love Wisconsin. I love its citizens. And to be able to have the citizens of Wisconsin say, you can be governor and then reelect me three more times after that, that to me is the biggest, next to my family, is the biggest accomplishment. And I love the title governor.
I think what one of the things that, you know, people, it endears you to people so much is, you know, I read all of those things that you did. And, you know, you have a doctorate degree. You served in the military. You've had experience and worldly experience like nobody has had. But you're the good old boy from Elroy. And you can take a really complex issue and boil it down and make it make sense to someone who has a high school diploma. You know, and it's never above anyone. You know, and it's something that's what Wisconsin is all about, right?
I think it is, and I thank you for that description, because my father taught me. He says, when I was working for him in the grocery store, he said, "Son, you got two ears and one mouth. Use them in that proportion, and you'll get along."
Yeah.
And he says, "Being an educated man from the university gives you the ability to talk to anybody, anywhere, at any time. So pick your audience and don't think you're better than anybody, and always respect everybody, and always have a smile on your face if you can." And those advice from my mother and father, and I hold them dearly. Two ears and one mouth, yes, and you'll do okay, Tommy.
Well, I think that's how, you know, that propelled you to four elections, and you were elected even when you didn't have the majority in the Assembly and the Senate, and you still got a lot done because you were able to, you never were above anybody, and you're still not, and you really showed respect to everyone, which is awesome. That's why.
When I first got elected governor, Mark, I was the only Republican that won a statewide election from an incumbent Democrat. It was a big Democrat.
Seriously,
year.
I didn't know that.
And I was the only one that won that year. I believe that's correct. And so, yes, it was always, my belief is you always want to shake hands and look somebody right in the eye and say, "I need you to vote for me. I want to help you, and I want to be your representative." And people in Wisconsin respond to that sincerity, that honesty, and that friendliness. That's Wisconsin. And I love it, and I brag about it all the time. You know, Wisconsin's the greatest state in America, bar none. That's and people here smile and use common sense and get the job done. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about this great state we call home.
I want to ask you... and this is more for me than anybody, but one of the most transformative events, and probably the most transformative event in my life, you know, in terms of like news and all of that, was September 11th. I remember sitting in Mr. Kyle's biology class when the principal of Green Bay East High School came over the loudspeaker and said, you know, America is under attack, and if the world stopped. We did. And I know what it was like in Green Bay, Wisconsin. My mom, she worked at the church that we went to back in 2012. You went to Church in Alley, Resurrection, and I was there. And we went and opened the doors at night on September 11th, and people were waiting outside just because they wanted to go to church and pray. You know, what was that like? Being in the halls of power that day,
Mark, it's going to take me a little bit.
That's okay. We got time.
Okay, it was absolutely surreal. I had invited scientists from all over the world to come in and talk about developing one vaccine for all flus.
Oh wow!
So you wouldn't have to get a flu shot every year. And I had scientists coming in from all over Europe and Asia. And they were here for a meeting with me, and we're going to spend that week coming up, hopefully, with a ubiquitous vaccine to cure all flus. when I had breakfast with him, and I left, and I heard about the first plane hitting the building in New York, North Tower. We sped up to my office. I called everybody in. By that time, we had the TV on. The second tower was hit, and so I knew that I was going to have to act, because I knew there was lots of casualties.
Yeah.
You could see it by people jumping out of the windows and fires and everything like this. And so I asked the attorneys if I could declare a health emergency for the country. And they said, nobody's ever done that. And I said, well, I want to do it. Is there any law that says I can? They said, you can't find any law that says you can. No law that says you can. And I said, that doesn't matter. I'm going to do it. And so I said, prepare the order, because I knew I was going to have to act.
Yep.
And so by 9:30, I had an order declaring a national health emergency in America.
Wow.
And we had medical depots where we had hundreds of thousands of medicines and so on. We have 8 of them around the country. After 9/11, I expanded that to 10.
Oh, cool.
They're highly classified.
Yeah.
But as you know, the president or the vice president had declared in the United States Armed Forces and Air Force had declared no planes could get up. I said, I got to have an exemption to get a plane in the sky, and because we had to get tons of medical supplies up to New York, and I think we might have been the only outside agency outside the Air Force that got a plane in the air that day. And we delivered, I think, 50 tons of medical supplies to New York by 5 o'clock that day. And
I'm going to stop you right there. We're up against a break, and I want to continue this discussion on the other side. We got Tommy Thompson. Okay. We're talking about his experience as secretary on 9/11. This is fascinating, and you're going to want to hear the rest of this story. So we'll see you on the other side. And thank you very much for listening to Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker.
Listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matinair on Air.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Barr.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Please. Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker, your host. We're talking with Governor Tommy Thompson. He was talking about how on 9/11... you hear the narrative that all of the planes in the United States had to be grounded, but you were talking about how you were able to get a plane in the air with some medical supplies up to New York. Continue that. I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's quite all right. And we got 50 tons of medical supplies, masks, gloves, different types of medicines up to New York. And it was amazing, because that's what they needed. And then all the cabinet secretaries were ordered, except for Secretary of State and Department of Defense, were ordered to go on helicopters out of Washington, D.C., ordered by the Vice President Dick Cheney, because the president was in Florida and had not gotten back to Washington. And so I didn't want to go, and they forced me to go. But I told my security to pick me up, go out to Virginia, where there's a city in the mountains for the continuation of government. And everybody went out there, and
you
I walked out and got in my security car, unbeknownst to anybody, and came back to the office, back in my office at 4:45. And then I met the people, and I told them that I was going to be there at 5:00 in the morning if anybody wanted to come back to work, because nobody had to. But I said, I really need you, and I'll be here to welcome you. I was there at 5:00, shook hands. Hundreds of people came back to work at my request. And then we decided that we had to go up to New York, and I was first secretary.
Yep.
I was up there before the president got up there. I went up to New York on the Amtrak. Beautiful day outside, but when I got there, you could hardly, we walked down. I walked down with chief of police, the fire chief, and the governor, and Rudy Giuliani was the mayor, and we walked down to one of the things that struck me in New York is everybody, the stop and go lights were knocked out.
Yep.
Nobody honked a horn.
Oh,
everybody
no,
was so deaf. In New York, nobody honked a horn. Nobody smiled. And it let people go through. They were all good soldiers and good boy scouts and girl scouts. They let people go through the lines, and they took their turn. And nobody said anything. Nobody honked a horn. It was all business. And everybody went down there, and I met with the people that were down there, and that was when they found the last live person. And I didn't get a chance to meet them. But then I went over to the hospitals and met with the doctors, met with some people that were injured, and then went out to where the morgue was. And it was just a ghastly thing to see all this terrible carnage. But the truth of the matter was, it was surreal. People... It was a bright sunny day, but there was so much debris flying down, and I was up there walking the streets of New York. But everybody was friendly, but nobody was smiling. Everybody was serious, and everybody was American. Went back to Washington D.C. and that night, everybody got together out outside of the Humphrey Building where I had my office, holding hands and with candlelights, singing different songs. Proclaiming how great it is to be an American. It was just, it was a type of thing, didn't know what was going to happen next, but you knew we were united, we were together. There was no Democrat or Republican or independent. Everybody, we were all Americans. And to be in New York and have nobody honk their horn to this day amazes me. But that was the feeling of the time. We were there to be polite, be direct, businesslike, and everybody came in to help out.
That's awesome.
And I was the first secretary to go up and visit, and I still remember how appreciative the governor and the mayor were that I was there and go over to the hospitals and help out with the doctors. It was unreal, but it was America.
That's awesome. We're talking with Governor Tommy Thompson, and I want to pivot a little bit. Because we're going through, you said it was surreal. We are kind of going through a little bit of a surreal time right now. And I want to talk, I want to talk about the conversation that's going on in the Democratic Party. I would imagine, Joe Biden. We got about 3 minutes here.
I know Joe Biden very, I worked with him when I was secretary, and I knew him when I was governor.
What's going on in the Democratic Party? Where are they today? I just want your thoughts on the whole state of play there.
I have said for well over a year that Joe Biden will not be the nominee, and I still don't believe he'll be the nominee.
I don't either.
I've been saying it for a year. I know Joe Biden, and I felt sorry for Joe Biden during that debate. If Joe Biden was the Joe Biden I knew when I was secretary, he would not, I am fairly confident, would not continue.
That was hard to see.
I was embarrassed, and I was sad to see Joe in that condition.
Yeah.
Because I knew him as a very outgoing, aggressive, and strong person. And I just know that he would say, I'm not fit for the job, and I got to turn down. But right now, I don't think he's completely in control. I think his family is pushing him to stay in, and I think he's more or less acceding to that pressure. But I don't think he's going to remain during the Democrat National Convention.
I don't think so. There's too much, and it's growing too. And what is the state of the party? I mean, you know, where is there room to work with the Democrats right now? As if you're a Republican,
I think there is. I think right now, Mark, that we have so much polarization, much partisanship in America, that I think it's going to get worse, I think, during this election. But I am very optimistic that after this election, no matter what happens, people are going to come together. I think people are just fed up with the partisanship and the polarization and the fact that nothing is getting done. We're a country of doers. America has always been the country that's out there aggressively leading. We're not leading anymore.
Right.
And we got so many internal problems that we're not addressing. And that's not America.
Right.
That's not what we're cut out for. We're supposed to be solving problems. That's what we do as Americans, as Wisconsinites. We solve problems, and we're not doing that. So I think after the election, I am fairly optimistic that we're going to come together as a country and as a state and start working together as Democrats and Republicans. I tell people this thing, Mark. I say, run as a Republican, run as a Democrat, run hard. But once you win, give up being the R's and D's, not completely, but join the W party, the winning party, the Wisconsin party, and work together and get something done. That's what I did as governor. I brought people together, and we got things done. Even with Democrats in control of both houses, I was able to get a lot done for the state of Wisconsin because, as President Reagan once said, it's amazing how much you can get done if you don't care who gets the credit.
It's exactly
that's
right.
That's what we...
Yep.
That's what we have to do. We have to get back to that.
I totally agree. We're talking with Governor Tommy Thompson. We talked about the Democratic side. We're going to talk about the Republican side here as the convention rolls into Milwaukee. We're going to talk about what Tommy's going to be doing at the convention. Coming up, you want to hear this?
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A day after a New Mexico judge dismissed the involuntary manslaughter case against actor Alec Baldwin over evidence not provided to the defense attorneys by the prosecution, attorney Gloria Allred represents the parents and sister of cinematographer Helena Hutchins today outside the Santa Fe courthouse.
The dismissal of the criminal case against Alec Baldwin is in no way, shape, or form an exoneration of him.
Allred promises a civil lawsuit. 10,000 balloons blown up today in Milwaukee ahead of next week's Republican National Convention. They'll be dropped the final night on Thursday when Republicans are expected to nominate Donald Trump. Senator Susan Collins not happy with the choices this November. The Republican says she will vote for neither former President Trump nor President Joe Biden, and will instead write in Nikki Haley for president. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers upset by the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Washington Nationals last night, 5-2 to AmFam Field in Milwaukee. The Nationals able to snap a 5-game losing streak. Brewers right-hander Freddie Peralta struggled, giving up 4 runs on 10 hits through 5 innings. Manager Pat Murphy after the loss.
I think
Freddie made a few mistakes, but I thought generally he threw the ball good. And, you know, they just lost five in a row, so they're kind of hungry to win, and they put some balls in play. And, yeah, and their starter did a nice job to keep us at bay.
The Nationals' Jackson Rutledge held Milwaukee to just three hits on two walks over four and two-thirds innings in his first ever major league start. A familiar face, Jesse Winker, who struggled last year with the Brewers, crushed a home run 403 feet to right center field, his 11th home run of the year. He also drove in a run with an RBI double. Elsewhere, the Cubs beat the Cardinals 5-1 in St. Louis. Chicago's now won five in a row. The Reds got past the Marlins 7-4. Pirates over the White Sox 4-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a thunderstorm, otherwise mostly sunny and highs in the upper 80s. Chance of storms tonight, a low around 70. Thunderstorms for Sunday, otherwise sunny, hot and humid, a high near 91. Heat index in the upper 90s, still hot on Monday.
Currently, it's 85.
Looking for a place to kick back, grab a bite, vibe out on great music? Look no further than the Rigby in Madison. They're not just a pub. They're where the action is, with something different every day. Rigby-oke Mondays, trivia Tuesdays, single nights on Wednesdays, and live music Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Located a block off the Capitol Square at 119 East Main Street, stop by and take a tour of the venue spaces for your next private party. And the rooftop space is now available. For venue reservations and details, email Chelsea at events.rigby@gmail.com.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. Eight kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter, and check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Pete Schwaba.
Monday night, we will stream live on Facebook, X, and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC and be back on the air live from 8 to 9 p.m. where we welcome the master of radio magic, Gizmo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I am your host, Mark Becker. We are talking with Governor and all-around good guy, Tommy Thompson. And we're talking about, you know, what the state of play is. And I love what you said before about coming together. You know, and that's kind of, for me, why I became involved in Republican politics as well. And, you know, I was a chairman of the Republican Party in Brown County, and then I was an elected official myself. But, you know, why I was in the Republican Party was because I believed in some things. Like, I wanted to live in a government. I wanted, you know, if I work really, really hard, I can earn as much as possible for my family. I didn't want the government telling me what to do. You know, I'm a hunter. I have, you know, guns. I think that that's okay. And, you know, for me, some people point to, like, Ronald Reagan and all of that. But for me, it was George W. Bush and you, Tommy. But at George W. Bush's inauguration, this is like this sentence here was why I was a Republican. And he said, when he was inaugurated, he said, "The grandest of these ideals is an unfolding American promise that everyone belongs, everyone deserves a chance, and that no insignificant person was ever born." And that, to me, was what it meant to be a Republican. And
that And that still is.
Yes.
The basic credo of being a Republican is take stock of yourself, but also reach out. Everybody has got meaning. Everybody has got self-worth. Everybody has and should have that opportunity because we are in America.
Yeah.
That's what America stands for. Independence, opportunity, limited government. Those are the principles that this country was was set up on. And the Statue of Liberty says, come on in.
Right.
We are Americans and we're independent.
Right. And so we have in Wisconsin, because, you know, it really underscores the importance of the Badger State that we are going to play in the election. Just like, 4 years ago, it was Milwaukee. Obviously, that didn't really happen like it was supposed to on the Democratic side because of COVID. But the Republican convention is next week. And I was, I was surprised to see that you were speaking. So what are you hoping to get out of that?
I just want to be able to tell the convention how important it is to be a Republican, how important it is to be involved in party politics, how important it is to be in Milwaukee, a great city on a great lake, how important it is for the Republicans to win and start steering America towards solving its problems and coming together and bringing people together. And that is what we stand for as Republicans. That's what we stand for as Americans. And that's what we stand for in Wisconsin at this national convention.
So a lot of the state of play in politics right now, we talked about it a little bit, is division and, you know, frustration and all of that. And I don't think, you know, the Republican Party is the same party that it was when I was chairman. And I saw Charlie Sykes in an airport last week, and we kind of talked a little bit about this because he's famously he is a conservative. He still has those ideals, but he's not a Republican. He does not support the current nominee. What do you say to people who are in that camp?
I say to those individuals that everybody has some fears. But you got to overlook the failings and look to what the accomplishments are and what the assets are. And when you compare the Republicans to the Democrats are floundering, as we indicated, and they don't even know who their nominee is at this point in time is going to be. And so they're floundering out there, and we got high inflation, it's an open border, high crime, and high taxation. And it's time for a change. And now the Republican nominee is Donald Trump, whether you like everything about him or not. And the truth of the matter is the only person that you will ever agree to over 90% of the time is the person that you're looking at when you're shaving in the morning. and it's time to overlook all of what you don't like and look at what you do like. And the need to change directions in this country for the better, for stronger foreign relations. We got problems internationally. Do something about the open border. Do something about high inflation and taxation and get down to it. And the Republican Party is the best party to accomplish that. And the nominee is Donald Trump. Get behind him and let's get him elected. And let's start a new chapter, a new direction in Wisconsin. That's what I would tell them.
So, and where I could, you know, I've struggled with Donald Trump mightily. And,
yes.
You know, one of my best friends in politics is Reed Ribble, and he will not support. And, you know, because it's a lot of times on this show, I talk about it's not about left versus right. It's about right versus wrong. And
that's correct.
You know, and
I love you for that.
Same here, that's
the basic credo,
right?
Do what I used to tell my people this when I was governor. They said, well, that's a Democrat idea. I said, I don't care. It's the right idea. Do it.
Well, and there, you know,
I don't care who gets credit. Do right. what is right, and that's good government. If you right. do what's right, it's good government.
Well, I mean, you won Dane County in 1994. And so, you know, how has politics changed since then? I mean, and where I struggle is, you know, on the Democratic side, you know, you have Joe Biden, who is, you can't be taken seriously on a national or worldwide stage when the leader of the free world has an 8 o'clock bedtime. But, you know, right.
I'm sure Putin right. and President Xi is going to.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to only attack between 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock.
He's trembling in his boots.
Because I don't want to wake up Joe Biden.
Right. Right.
I don't think that's going to happen.
But no. I don't think he's going to be the nominee. So I don't think. But I struggle with the fact that, and I as a conservative, not everything Donald Trump did was bad. He did a lot of good things. He did.
Right.
But yeah. I think what came with it was, you know, the other side of when Donald Trump was president. My wife is a black woman. Hate crimes rose. Yes. My brother is gay. Bigotry and hate crimes against gay people rose because so often there was, you know, right or wrong or indifferent. There was a space that was created to say, hey, like in Charlottesville, there's decent people on both sides of this. Well, one side is Nazis and the other side is not Nazis. So there's not decent people on both sides. But that was the message that was sent from Donald Trump. And so it's so hard. And then we get into the election. And I would imagine you believe that it was not a stolen thing. But
I don't believe. I think the election was conducted correctly.
Right. And so that message destroyed so much of the foundation of public trust in institutions. And I mean, what happened was terrible. And so that's someone for me, you know, I and people that listen to this show, this is a purple audience. How do we tell someone who is purple, you know, that in spite of everything that happened, in spite of, you know, wanting to sidestep the Constitution and January 6th and all of those things, why should we give this person another chance to do that?
It's a balancing thing. We know that no matter who the Democrat nominee is going to be, it's going to be a tug way to the left. We've tried the left policy stuff, and they are not working. It's time to try a more conservative approach. As you've indicated, you're conservative and so am I.
Yep.
And I believe very much in those principles. I live by them and I govern by them. And I accomplished a great deal, I think.
Oh, yeah.
With the help of Democrats on a bipartisan basis.
Right.
We're going to get back to that. But I think you have to have a president and you have to choose between somebody more on the left versus somebody on the right. People on the left, I think, have failed America and Americans. And I think it's time to try a more conservative approach. And Donald Trump is the standard bearer. So you have three choices. Vote for a Democrat, which I would advise you not to and hope you don't. Or not vote, which I certainly do not think as Americans you can avoid the opportunity. And so the third choice and the best choice is being a Republican and vote for Donald Trump. I don't think that's hard to rationalize.
That's why
I think all of us have got to get the answer. We want a new direction in America, and there's only one choice for a new direction, and that happens to be the Republican way, and that nominee is Trump.
We're talking with Governor Tommy Thompson, and I appreciate that. And it's funny you talk to there's a guy that I'm in the car business. I own a dealership. And there's a guy that owns, you know, hundreds of car dealerships in Wisconsin. I'm not going to mention his name, but he always says, if you want to know, he always says, if you want to know how the economy is doing, walk into a car dealership. And he's right, because we see people struggling with interest rates and inflation and all that.
Right.
And so we see, oh, the economy is going nuts. It's like, let's see how it's working for people on Main Street. And I think you're right. But I think, like, so often the Republican Party they have, and I don't want to mince words. There are fantastic Republicans out there. There really are. And there are brilliant people out there that have ideas on the conservative side of how to fix these things. But, you know, it's and that's why it's so frustrating with the party is it's time for a new direction. We've had that direction. And from the economy standpoint, it went great. Donald Trump on the economy was wonderful. But on the other stuff, it really I never experienced a time because I wasn't around for the civil rights era, but I didn't experience a time of such deep-seated division like I experienced under Donald Trump. Who does he have in his sphere that can help with that side?
I think that he's going to bring in a whole new cadre of young thinkers. It's going to be his last chance, and he wants to make this country as strong as it possibly can be. And he's going to bring in people that are like-minded as that want to change America for the better. I am confident that Donald Trump is going to pick the right people for these positions to help him steer America better economically and stronger internally, domestically, and internationally.
What makes you confident about that?
I feel very comfortable. And you being a car dealer,
yep.
You also know that it's not only walking into a car dealer if you know how the economy's doing. You also remember it was not only the economy, but after Joe Biden got president, the supply chain for cars was almost non-existent.
Man, the chips and everything.
You couldn't buy a new car if you wanted to. You had to wait 6 months, and then you had to pay exactly. There was no more negotiating because there were no alternatives. And that is not America. We love choices. We love to negotiate. We love to dicker and back and forth. And that was not capable, not only in cars, but right now we see it in medicines. And one of the basic things that Americans look for is better health care. If you can't get your drugs because of trade policies and because of direction and trade is broken, that's going to affect all of us. And these are the kind of things that I am confident that Donald Trump will fix with the right people in office.
I got about 20 seconds here. Quick question. We talk about the border and all of that. How does Trump fix that? 20 seconds.
He reinstates the policy that was working when he got defeated.
All right. Awesome. Tommy Thompson, Governor of Wisconsin, thank you so very much for your time today. Really appreciate it. I wish you nothing but the best, and I hope to keep in touch and hope to see you really, really soon. And thank you for everything that you've done. You're a wonderful person. Thank you so much.
My honor to be interviewed, buddy.
Thank you. Stick around on the Rational Revolution. I got some thoughts on this discussion as well as the Republican Party as a whole coming up.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Sure, the home seller's market is hot right now, but that means many people are jumping at the first offer. When you sell with the most trusted name in real estate, the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber, you're guaranteed the hottest offer, making you the most money for your home. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, your local realtor, friend, and neighbor, has your best interest in mind and wants you to make the most of this amazing time to sell. Bring a little heat to your home selling experience with Aaron Weber Group and move to Madison.com.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker. We just had a conversation with Governor Tommy Thompson, and I do want to thank him genuinely for his time. I think he's a wonderful man, and he's really lived a life of service that we can all be grateful for. Some of the things that I want to reflect on that. We talked a little bit about bringing Donald Trump back in and fix medicine and all of this stuff, and I have a hard time with that and giving the keys to the nation's healthcare system to someone who wanted us to take hydroxychloroquine and horse paste and all of these different things during the pandemic, when the very simple answer was listening to experts and medical doctors, not, a real estate guy. And I think, there's so much that we have to reflect on in terms of what we're going to decide in November. And, as a former Republican myself, I reflected a lot on, what I was going to say here today. I want to give the microphone to people on this show because it is a purple show. It is Rational Revolution. We want to hear all sorts of different sides to things. But at the end of the day, we want to talk about what's right versus what's wrong, not left and right. And, I wanted to boil down exactly what happened to the Republican Party and where things went wrong and all of that stuff. And I started in 2012, and in 16, excuse me, where Donald Trump came down the escalator and his first speech said other, rapists and murderers, and some of them are good people, referring to Hispanic immigrants. And it was like a week after I was on a podcast and I infamously, I guess, said Donald Trump will never be the nominee. No way. Nope. I was being interviewed. No, he's not going to be that. Well, he was. And, but people don't remember. Maybe they do. But the Never Trump movement came out of Wisconsin. And I remember standing in that room with representatives from the state assembly and Senate, talk show hosts on the radio, some insignificant guy from Brown County. And we said, we will never vote, we will never support, we will never get behind Donald Trump. And it even got to the point, so my nominee, and I was going to talk to Governor Thompson about this, because we supported the same guy. It was John Kasich. And we supported John Kasich in the primary because he was a good and decent man. He has a heart of service, and he was from a blue Midwestern state that knows how to get along with people. And John Kasich dropped out. And I'm not proud to say this, but I eventually even got to supporting Ted Cruz. Excuse me. There it is again. I supported Ted Cruz. Sorry. And I supported him for president because it was either that guy or Donald Trump. And Trump won the nomination. And I opened my eyes, and everybody that was in that room with us, that Never Trump room, other than a few people, were gone, and they kissed the ring and they supported Donald Trump, and he got 4 years. And they supported Donald Trump through racist policies. They supported Donald Trump through cozying up to horrible world leaders, Vladimir Putin, Kim Jong-un. They supported him through leaving the Paris Climate Accord and threatening to withdraw and leave the UN. They supported him through his response to Charlottesville. We talked about that a little bit. On one side, there's Nazis. On the other side, there's not Nazis. And there were still good people on both sides of the aisle. And that's why, famously, Joe Biden says he got into the race. And then there was January 6th. And I want to talk about that now. I talked a little bit about, why... I wanted to be a Republican, and it was because of equality, because of, that there was always a place for someone like me who didn't believe in everything the Republican Party believed, but hey, we'll get there. But then the election happened, and everything that I thought the Republican Party stood for honesty, truth, justice, all of that was completely out the window and gone. And what we had was people like Rudy Giuliani waving these signed affidavits in the front of a courtroom, in front of all the cameras, going into the courtroom, then where he's under oath, saying to the judges, oh, well, you know, these really aren't all that, you know, whatever. Then he comes back out of the courtroom and waves the same thing, saying, I did this, I showed them, I showed the world that this was a stolen election. And so all of this boiled up to January 6th. And I'm going to share something. There was a D.C. police officer that bought a car from us. It was his partner passed away, and we had a vehicle that it was like his. And so he flew in, bought the car, and we talked for like 4 hours when he was here. And we talked about January 6th, but I never asked him this question. And I asked him yesterday, last night, when I was preparing for this episode, I said, who was responsible for January 6th? And this is what he said. He said, I personally don't get involved with politics and never entertained the idea of doing so. However, being there firsthand on that day, I will never forget it. I will never forget literally the next day a member of our platoon committed suicide. I started to entertain the idea myself. I have little care for politics. I am a firm believer that Donald Trump incited the riot and made absolutely no efforts to stop it. You do not support our police and support that person. You do not support our military and support that person. You do not love our country and support that person. And you don't love our country and support the person who does all of those things. You cannot do it. Donald Trump tried to overthrow a free and fair election, overthrow democracy. And the stories that are coming out to this day about what happened that day is mind-blowing. And I wish I had a little more time to ask Governor Thompson this. How do you support someone who did that? How do you truly support? He said it himself 5 minutes ago, that he believes the election was free and fair. If you believe that, how do you reconcile with the fact that the standard bearer for your party that is going to be coronated next week is the person who tried to upend the very democracy you swore an oath to protect and defend? He talked about how it was under direct attack, and he gave a very moving story about what happened on 9/11. How do you reconcile with the person trying to overthrow the very foundation of our government? And that is the standard bearer of the Republican Party. And that is something that I cannot get behind. I will not get behind. And that's where we are. Thank you for joining us on The Rational Revolution. I am Mark Becker. We will see you next week. We got a great guest. Stick around for it next week. Thanks, guys.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we're live from Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee along with Trigvi Olson. You don't want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Lake Ridge Bank presents Atwood Fest on Madison's East Side. Enjoy live music on three stages from local, national, and international artists, with plenty of food and craft vendors along Atwood Avenue, from Tex Tubs to Monty's Blue Plate. And bring the kiddos for Kids Fest, but don't bring the puppers. Leave your pets at home. Three stages, 30 bands over 2 days on Madison's East Side. It's time for Atwood Fest, Saturday and Sunday, July 27th and 28th. For a full music schedule, log on atwoodfest.com.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Gaza health officials say an Israeli attack on southern Gaza killed at least 71 people. Israeli forces announcing the attack was targeting Hamas's top military leader. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today saying there's no certainty yet that Hamas' second-in-command, Mohammed Deif, was killed. Former President Trump holding a campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania today as anticipation surrounds the announcement of his choice for a running mate. Trump supporter Thomas Harmos at today's rally says he hopes Trump will pick up North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum.
The governor of North Dakota, Burgum, I really like a businessman. I'm not interested in somebody that's going to want to push social, political, I want somebody that's going to solve our social, economic problems.
The judge overseeing Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter trial dismissed the case over a state discovery violation. Live ammunition found at the scene, not shared with the defense. This is ABC News. Utility trucks and workers are on the job today in Houston. We're nearly a week since Hurricane Beryl hit. Houston, more than 600,000 area residents are still dealing with sweltering heat without any electricity. AT&T says hackers stole records of calls and texts from nearly all of its wireless customers back in April. That breach impacting 90 million accounts. The company says the data from 2022 included phone numbers. Hackers did not